You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now, on the line, I have Matidia Ture. Matidia, are you there?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Now, last week, we had Malcolm Turnbull in New Zealand speaking with Bill English on a number of issues. And one of the results of that meeting was that he turned down our offer of taking 150 refugees from their detention centres. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think that it's political posturing by Australia. They wouldn't want New Zealand, you know, to be seen to be being forced into it and exposing the brutality of those centres and the brutality of their policy. That does mean, I think, that the New Zealand government needs to put more pressure on them, actually, and make it really clear that it's completely unacceptable, their policy with those refugees. I mean, there are terrible stories coming out of ongoing abuse, sex abuse, children being abused, doctors fighting to keep children safe in hospitals in Australia to avoid them going back to those islands and to those camps, people killing themselves and hurting themselves in order to try to make it clear just how torturous it is. So it's a human rights scandal in the Pacific, and the government has been traditionally weak over it, both Kiwi and now clearly English.
Mm-hmm. Turnbull said he was going to focus on kind of repairing the deal that he had with Obama previously to take more. Do you think that that's appropriate? Do you think we, as closer neighbours, should be focusing on it more?
Oh, I mean, it kind of partly depends on the people themselves. I mean, there's some who might want to go to the US, and so having an arrangement that allows for that's more supportive of other countries taking these refugees, you know, is not necessarily a bad thing. I think there's other political reasons behind Australia not wanting New Zealand to take these people, partly to try to stop people from going to Australia or trying to get to Australia. But these people are all fleeing terrible circumstances in their home countries as a result of the failures, particularly of the Western world, to deal with the humanitarian crises, the environmental crises, the climate crises that these countries are facing. And so, you know, we have to be responsible international citizens, both in trying to stop and support these countries in dealing with these crises, as well as taking refugees when they need us. I mean, they just don't have any option. They're putting their lives at risk. So, I mean, I just think that the Obama deal, I don't think, has any particular reference to us. The New Zealand government needs to be very strong advocates for being a responsible global citizen. And under National, that hasn't been the case.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Turnbull is afraid that if we did take some of the refugees from the detention centres, that would create a situation like a sort of vacuum where they would be obligated to take more refugees? And do you think that they don't want to do that?
I don't know if it would mean they would have to take more, but I think it would show them up for being callous and cruel in their policy. I think that might be partly why they don't want them to come here. And we've got to remember that, you know, Australia also changed its rules over the last few years around New Zealanders who are living in Australia and are deporting them, holding them in detention and then deporting them too with some rule changes. So there's obviously some, you know, Australia's got a particularly bad reputation when it comes to this. Maybe there's some relationship there, but I think Australia just doesn't want to be seen to be shown up, which is what would happen if New Zealand were to take more of these refugees.
Mm-hmm. Do you think during this meeting, English should have pushed back harder?
Oh, I mean, I don't know what the conversation was like. We can only see the reports of it. I doubt very much that there was a strong moral statement made by Bill English about this. I mean, he hasn't made any indication at all that this is a serious issue for him or that he recognises the cruel and callous treatment of these people being held in detention. So, I mean, it might have been a diplomatic statement as opposed to one around a moral or principled one, in which case I'd expect it to be fairly soft. But, like I say, I don't know. I wasn't there in the conversation, so mm-hmm. It's hard to know.
Now, you guys have been calling for the government to take action on this situation for quite a while. Is this starting to feel like a bit of an uphill battle?
Well, I mean, this is another country's sovereignty, right? So we can't, I mean, you know, we can tell them we think it's unacceptable. We can make representations to the international agencies and the UN, for example, about the abuse of human rights that these detention centres are, and there has been some good work that has come out of the UN about that, reports about that. And we can continue to make the strong overtures that if Australia isn't prepared to be a responsible global citizen, New Zealand is. So there's, you know, we can't make them give us those people so we can treat them right. Mm-hmm. But we can do more, I think, to embarrass them on the international stage and to show them up. I think they deserve it. It's terrible, callous, inhumane treatment that they're subjecting extremely vulnerable people to. And it's completely unacceptable.
Mm-hmm. Now, our offer that's been standing for a while is to take 150 of those people.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that's enough?
No, it's not enough, but at least it's a start. I mean, at the moment it's hard enough to get them to give us any. So it's a start, but it's not enough. And it also doesn't deal with either with the reasons why these people are fleeing their countries. They are fleeing extreme poverty, war, environmental crises. It's just, you know, where they come from, you know, their homes are being destroyed and their families are at great risk. And we could also, as well as I say, taking on and taking care of refugees who do make it, because, you know, so many don't, we also need to be more responsible international citizens on dealing with those crises as they occur, providing more support to those countries, making sure that we're not complicit like intentionally or unintentionally in the creation of those crises. I mean, you know, we have broader responsibilities as well.
Mm-hmm. As you say, those people are already fleeing awful situations and then coming to Australia, to those detention centres. The number that you'd want to take from Australia, is that on top of an existing refugee quota in New Zealand?
Oh, I wouldn't. I mean, I don't know if we've got direct policy about that. We want to extend the refugee quota to at least 2,000. And so whether it was part of that or in addition, it doesn't worry me either way. It's just as long as the issue here right now, because we can't get Australia to commit to allowing those people to come here, you know, that's the big political problem we have. Once we get through that, then we can deal with the numbers and the exact process that we would use. So the thing is that we just have to do everything we can to at least get Australia to open the doors. Mm-hmm. And then we can deal with those process issues later. Mm-hmm. I'm quite happy for them to be on top of that number of 2,000. There's no doubt that we can take more refugees in this country, even more than doubling the quota. As long as we make sure that there's enough resources going into their care when they get here.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's move along to these 9 Indian students who are threatened with deportation.
Mm.
They're due to be served deportation orders on Wednesday after Immigration New Zealand's grace period. What do you guys think the best course of action from here is?
I went to see them on Thursday at the church to talk through with them what they were thinking their options were. And given the deportation orders have been issued, and so that is why one of them was arrested, and why they were in sanctuary, actually, I mean, in the church. So part of it is, well, what options do they have for their future? One of the options is that if they do leave voluntarily, if there's no black mark against their name, because these people are victims of fraud, if there's no black mark against their name because they're by being deported, then it gives them a chance to reapply. And one of the options, so that is for them personally, that is a option for them to kind of reset the clock. And so, because if they are deported, officially deported, they will have a deportation note on their passport, and it will be very difficult for them to come back into New Zealand, and difficult to come back into anywhere, to travel anywhere around the world. So it's really serious for them individually.
Mm-hmm.
The big problem is that there was fraud committed by the agencies, and government has done nothing, like zero, to deal with the actual fraud that occurred. Now, they've got agents in India who are preparing fraudulent documents there, providing them to the New Zealand Immigration Service. The students don't know that these are fraudulent documents. And immigration was initially accepting them. I mean, you know, there's a whole there's a huge gap here in the way that this issue's been dealt with. Government is persecuting the victims of the fraud and essentially throwing them out of the country one way or another. Meanwhile, the perpetrators of the fraud, there doesn't seem to be any action at all.
Mm-hmm. These 9 students who are in sanctuary at the church have kind of brought the issue to light, but how many more do we know may be a victim of this kind of issue?
Well, I mean, we don't. And I given the treatment of these students, I would not be surprised if people are keeping it. If they have any concerns about it, they're not saying anything. I mean, why would you? Because what's going to happen is government will be knocking on your door to arrest you and throw you out of the country. And even if you can prove that you were victims of fraud, the government's still going to do that to you. So people aren't going to... You know, what the government has done is actually forced people to try to hide, if they've got concerns, to hide it. Those people have got nowhere to go. They can't go to Immigration Service and ask them to check it out. They can't go to lawyers to do it because the lawyers would have to talk to the Immigration Service. They can't go back to the agencies because the agencies are the perpetrators of the fraud. They can't go to their schools and talk to their schools about it. The schools would have to talk to Immigration about it as well. So they've just trapped a whole lot of people who really need some help, but have got nowhere to go in this country. I mean, it was an incredibly short-sighted and stupid policy of government, because what they wanted to do was, the theory, as I understand it from government, is if they throw out these students, then those agencies, the ones who are committing the frauds, will be less inclined to do it because there's no guarantee that the students will be able to stay in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
But that is just totally irrational. It's illogical and it's irrational. And all it does is hurt. You know, these people, they pay a hell of a lot of money. They want to come here and get some good skills and a decent education so they can build a better life for themselves. I mean, there's nothing, you know, that's all they're trying to do, and they shouldn't be punished for that.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that the government's going to have to do any sort of damage control to keep attracting these kind of students after a situation like this?
Well, I don't know. Well, I think the government is thinking that, no, they don't, because there is just thousands and thousands and thousands of people who would jump at the chance to come here and get an education. I mean, the education, international education industry is really valuable in New Zealand, and there's a huge demand for it. So again, what government has done is they haven't, because they've persecuted the individuals and they're not stopping the fraud, they are also undermining the, the integrity of the, you know, education industry in that sense. I mean, but at the same time, they're also pretty sure that there'll be thousands of people lining up to come. Mm-hmm. So it's really amoral. Because individuals are being hurt by this lack of a logical, sort of decent policy approach. Money is still being spent here. Like these students, they aren't getting their fees back from the institutions. They aren't getting their fees back from Immigration. I mean, they paid thousands and thousands of dollars, tens of thousands in some case. They're not getting a cent of that back. So all the money that's been spent here stays here. It's just the students have to go home. And there's a whole bundle of students waiting to do exactly the same thing because the chance, you know, to get a decent education in New Zealand is so valuable to them.
Mm-hmm. That's probably all we have time for today, Matidia. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
All good. Good to talk to you.
Talk to you soon.
Kia ora.
Wire. Like, naked is the theme. Like, people just love getting naked.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.